So there I was, right, on a bright, fresh winter's afternoon, heading at some kind of advisory speed towards the city of Cambridge. This seems like a good plan, as I am on one of my regular tours of local radio stations in the UK. Now in the East Country, heading for a city I don't really know, and of course, tuned in to the local radio.
Okay. This hour, we're going to be speaking to Chris Darling. Now, I normally bump into Chris at the 10K Town and Gown race.
Oh, right. I was wondering where the connection was.
Yeah, well, I do the race every year, and so does Chris, although to be precise, I'm doing the comparing and Chris is doing the running bit. But he runs other marathons. He teaches PE at Bottisham Village College and is also a director of Cambridge Park Run. So we're going to be finding out about all of that, and we'll keep you up to date on the travel, such as it is.
Yeah, it's pretty all right out there, actually.
It's not too bad, so we'll keep you up to date on that. And then after 12 midday, we're going to be taking a look at yesterday's sport. If you're a Cambridge United fan, look away now.
Engaging voices keeping me company in the car, and as it happens, I was actually on my way to visit Cambridge 105 FM. But as the local radio station gently jostled with my sat-nav for my attention, and just before I pulled in to a rather pleasant cul-de-sac of red brick buildings that hinted at some kind of manufacturing past, but were now servicing all manner of white van-type businesses, it occurred to me on that particular Sunday that right now, all over the UK, local radio stations are broadcasting all manner of activity about the areas that they serve. They are the medium of communication from one end of a community to another. They are empowering voices. They are feeding us important information about our localities and, most crucially, entertaining us with good banter and fine music selections. Hello, by the way, I'm Dom Chambers and welcome to the In Radio Podcast.
The In Radio Podcast with Dom Chambers.
In Radio. Today's programme finds me extensively touring around the UK as I explore local radio at the heart of community. In Radio. This is going to be good. Here's a taster of what's to come.
Communication, that's the big word I think you'd use, communication, and keeping everybody involved with what we're doing and what everybody else is doing within the community itself.
To be something that everybody could feel a part of.
Its purpose is to broadcast music and culture and chat to our target audience, which is Asian and ethnic.
What's the point in doing radio if you're not going to connect with the audience?
Our shows are dedicated to local health support groups.
There is no doubt in my mind that community radio is the future of local radio.
And I think all the evidence is now in place to suggest that that future has arrived, as this programme will bear witness to. The voice, by the way, of Matthew from Sunnygovern in Glasgow. And there's a community broadcaster that takes local radio to a whole new level of strategic support for local people and real social challenges around alienation, isolation and homelessness. And I guess that's the point, because in this exploration of local radio in the UK, I am very much concerned with radio that has a social agenda or key commitments to put them in the regulatory framework of an Ofcom licence. These are local broadcasters in the not-for-profit section of the media. This means, on the whole, that they're doing it for the sheer love of it. Love of radio, love of audio communication, love of their communities. And those communities, by the way, might be ones of geographic location, or they could be communities of interest. And I'll be visiting examples of both. For now, though, to get us going, let's find out a little bit more about local radio in Cambridge. And when I finally arrived at Cambridge 105, I was greeted by one of the directors of the station, Greg Butler.
We're a local radio station, heavily involved in the community here in Cambridge. We're involved in a lot of the big events that go on around the station. We broadcast live from our studios here in Guardia Street, usually about 17 hours a day. We have local guests come in. We cover all the local charities, and we're very much based as a what used to be the sort of thing that BBC Local Radio 50 years ago and the ILRs when they first started used to do then. Basically, that's really what we do, but much more of it.
And how do you support the local community? You've mentioned that you have guests in, you've mentioned that you're covering charitable activity and other local activity that's important to the community. But perhaps you give me a couple of examples of how your model of local radio is really at the heart of the community of Cambridge.
Yeah, well, we're actually, you know, physically involved in the organisation of a lot of the events. So we're involved in the local chambers of commerce. We're involved in the organisation of things like Strawberry Fair or the Buskers Festival. We're at all the big local events. We have a very good outside broadcast unit. In fact, we've got two OB vans, one of which is run by the Camhams, by the local amateur radio, who are excellent. And so, you know, we see their radio vans at events that we're covering live. We're involved in things like the organisation of the Cambridge Band Competition. We have started our own organisation called the New Music Generator, which is run by our station manager. And he's started this event up where we have NMG, New Music Generator Awards, which is a big swanky-do, involves all of the local bands, and we really promote local bands and artists in Cambridge, give them a big platform to actually boost what they're doing, promote them. We're pretty much there at all local events, so we were doing Midnight Mass live from the centre of Cambridge in the big Roman Catholic Church there. We covered the Armistice Day ceremony live from outside the War Memorial. So it's that sort of involvement that we try and achieve. We regularly invite local politicians from all colours to come and talk to us and talk to our listeners. And we cover local news. We have local traffic reports every 20 minutes during the day. And we try and give a different type of music programmes in the evening, alternative to just mainstream pop. So we're always trying to do something slightly different to what the other radio stations are doing.
Does that whole range of effort and your involvement in community life here in Cambridge, does that reflect on audience figures?
I think it does. Obviously, we are not officially in Radar because we couldn't possibly afford to do that. But from the few figures we have managed to get and from our own online figures, which obviously are an indication, we know that we've got a substantial audience in Cambridge. And if you just go out and ask people, you will find, you know, 1 in 10 will certainly be listening or have listened to the station. So we're quite well known.
And that's good to hear. Evidence of listenership, always welcome, of course. And in my view, local radio in the not-for-profit sector has to find a balance between its social gain and charitable activities and generating radio that will find an audience. In fact, coming up later in this programme, we'll hear some fairly strongly held views that there is no point in making radio if nobody's going to listen. For now, though, as I continue to explore the attractions and purposes of local radio, I want to nip over to West Oxfordshire, where I think they're onto something as to why people are drawn into the world of their local broadcaster. For Grant Grinley at Whitney Radio, local and community radio has an integrity about it at a time when we don't always know what to believe as we consume media.
You know, with everything online now, everybody thinks that radio is dead, and it really isn't, particularly FM radio and DAB. Also, the emergence of fake news and how a lot of stuff online, especially with AI, is one of these things with that, is changing the way that the news is delivered. And I think radio has an important role to play because it isn't fake, in that, you know, live broadcasts, getting involved with interviews is the way to go. And it's good to get young people to realise that they can take a project, deliver it directly to listeners. There's no big bureaucracy. There's no big management to get through. If you have a project, you have something you feel strongly about, as well as on social media, you can get directly to your listenership through local community radio. And that is really important, especially for young people who a lot of the time people think are all apathetic. And it's not until something major happens that they realise they have control of the democracy in some ways and they can actually do something about it. Whereas often people think that everything is out of their control because either big media or the big national media organisations control everything. But if you're actually part of your own community radio station, you can get directly to the people in the area that you live in.
That point about locally trusted media comes up time and time again when I ask people why are they listening to their local radio stations, and frequently people say, it's a voice I trust. And of course, in volunteer-orientated local radio, it could well be a voice that you know. It could be your schoolmate, it could be your grandson, it could be your mum. And there's another point that Grant was starting to touch on, is that local radio audiences often grow from who's participating in production. And giving people a voice is absolutely crucial at Chelmsford Community Radio Station, as Michelle Durant explains.
It's really important to offer a voice to everybody. We're all different. There's so many different types of people out there, and we need to embrace our differences. And as a community station, well, we might do like a talk show for 1 hour, we might do a Motown show another hour. They're not necessarily demographic A's choice, but they might listen to show C, or, you know, it's a central place that people can come and share their interests, but also explore other things, and hopefully they'll stay with us.
In these conversations I have up and down the country, I find evidence everywhere I go that central to the proposition of radio at the heart of community is people. It is the people that make the radio, who participate in studio and station life, often making them vibrant, exciting and creative places to be. It is the people that they are talking to. Those are people who they know because they live next door to them, or they see them down the welfare office, or nearby on the football terraces. And this aspect of local radio came through in tremendous abundance when I visited Sunnygovern in Glasgow. Here's Matthew.
There is no doubt in my mind that community radio is the future of local radio. Commercial radio is so generic and commercial orientated around really the globe. Community radio, however, looks at the people and what the people want. Commercial radio seems to be saturating itself as the years go on, and I think, not just for me, with regards to what community radio means, because it is so focused on the people, community radio can also focus on the aspirations of what any individual is looking to achieve in their career. So for me, you know, I'm really into DJing, I'm really into putting music together, I'm really interested in showcasing my talent, and for so many people, everyone has, you know, a story to tell when they come here. And so really, that is the key of what Sunnygovern and really so many other community stations are about. It's about the people and what they want to achieve in their career and their aspirations and goals.
And of course, developing those skills that might make you more employable or help you lead a life of your own choosing is a key element as to why people might volunteer in these sorts of local radio stations. But I want to pick up on something Matthew was saying there about everybody having a story to tell, because for me, great radio is about great stories. And one of the many things I love about going to Sunnygovern is that as you approach it up the street, there is a bench outside, a rather solid-looking bench outside of the studios. Now, that bench was put there so people can take the weight off their feet should they feel the need to do so, and they can do so without having to pay the price of a cup of tea. And on that bench is where conversations start, and sometimes those conversations spill into the studios just behind. And before you know it, you've had the creation of what can often be really powerful radio. And I had an example of that rather closer to home to where I broadcast in North East Somerset, where one of the presenters of Summer Valley FM was attending the local farmers market. And he struck up with a conversation with a guy who had a brilliant accent, a really charismatic fellow. And he goes, "Hey, I've got a story to tell." And the next thing we knew is he was in my studio. Wonderful conversation had started, but it was about to go in a really unexpected direction. What it was, he was describing how he came to be in a wheelchair through a deeply unfortunate set of circumstances that had included him being run over, a severe accident that had landed him in hospital.
I saw myself lying on a bed in a black room. There was no ceiling, no floor, no walls, but there were brilliant white silk drapes. And then I saw this light to the left of me, and I looked at the light, and it got bigger and then bigger and real big. I got off the bed and ran into the darkness, and then I turned around and I watched the light stay big for a while, and then it got smaller and smaller and smaller to the size of a pinhole. Then it disappeared, then the drapes disappeared, then the bed disappeared, And then I started feeling pain in my body. My arms were hurting me. My back was killing me. My legs were no good to me. And I had this horrible pain in my eyes. I shut my eyes tight, praying for this pain to go away. I opened them up again, and I saw myself looking up at this hospital light on a hospital bed.
Well, that really is quite something when the listener witnesses at such a close proximity the very moment of somebody's death. Or in this case, as it turned out to be, near death, about as near as it gets, actually. And later in that conversation, Ethan described to me as how he felt in charge of the decision as to which way he was going to go, to or from the light. And as I got to know him, it became apparent that he felt that decision had informed how he was to be for the rest of his life. He asked us at Summer Valley FM to teach him about radio. We did. He went on to do a show for many years, and a tremendous inspirational show it was too. Which I suppose lands us squarely back where we frequently find ourselves, is that so much of what we do is about the people who come into a radio station and make radio that communicates often in a very warm and personal way with the listener. And there's no better illustration of that than Alex Healy's story. Alex, who's a director at Bolton FM, underwent a personal journey as he got involved in radio, and his story underwrites how they go about training.
Bolton FM, as well as doing the radio, a massive part of it is the people. And I'm going to use myself as an example for this, in that when I came to Bolton FM, I was quite rude. I'd just got into uni and I was still very immature. And I was learning how to grow up through a series of, you know, arguments and falling outs, and then gradually working with my boss Keith and other people. You know, it taught me how to grow up and how to behave around other people and behave in an office and behave with other people. And that's a massive part of what we do, and training people to be more confident. There's presenters here who I know when they came to the station, you know, would barely speak. You know, they didn't want to go behind a microphone, they didn't want to press the buttons, but they came to see how it worked and what they could do, and now they're doing shows that wouldn't be out of place on a BBC or a commercial station, in my opinion.
From Bolton, for Bolton, Kevin Williams, 96.5, Bolton FM. This is Bolton, yesterday's hits, today's topics. Bolton
FM. And a very good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to This Is Bolton on a Friday. Yes, it is. It's a Friday. Everybody be pleased. Everybody be pleased. My first guest is local MP David Cosby. He'll be in around about 11:15, and we've had a phone call to say he is on his way. So we'll get you right up to date on Brexit, I'm sure, and hopefully other things beside that. But it is where it is, isn't it? Let's have a look at the weather.
Bolton FM weather.
Well, community radio as a whole, I think, is doing something that maybe other areas of the industry aren't, with reaching local people and sort of providing, especially in Bolton, every week there's something going on, whether it's a charity event or there's a sports team needs some promotion and stuff. And quite often I don't think other areas of the industry are giving those people that chance, and Bolton FM does that. We've got three different sports shows covering national, local and, you know, community sports groups. This Is Bolton, our daytime show, covers police initiatives, all sorts of things all about Bolton. It's just people in Bolton can tune in and know what they're talking about. They'll hear local names, they'll hear people that they've heard of.
It is about those voices that we trust again. But radio that serves a geographic location takes on a whole new meaning in a deeply rural location where listeners potentially are really quite isolated. Fort William in the Highlands is obviously a place of concentrated population, but it's in the centre of a really large transmission area. In fact, I think it might be the biggest in the country for one operating under the community licence. And that's partly because there's enormous blocks of Scottish granite to get round. But for John Weller at Nevis Radio, it's not only important to sound good as a radio station, but you really must be there for everybody in the area.
Well, I think we sound pretty professional. Yeah, we do it as professional as we can for the local businesses, as well as all the local listeners, the local charities and environmental people around as well. We do play a wide variety of music. Yeah, we do get knocked for it now and again on some of the media sites where people listen in to us and say they've just played a bit of folk music and they're playing heavy rock within 2 minutes. And that's what we do. But the listeners we got, that's what they want. That's what they'll be requested. You can't just pinpoint Nevis Radio as an easy listening station or rock station. So throughout the day, we'll be playing a wide variety of all kinds of music, especially with local artists we've got up. We've got a lot of good local bands. So they make up quite a big chunk of our playlist, and they're the ones which the people working away want to hear.
So what we seem to be establishing here is that local people come into their radio station, get a bunch of skills, and they then communicate via the airways with their audience who are part of the same community. But like so many local radio stations around the UK, that relationship between presenter and audience is really enhanced with an open door policy. In 10 years of running Summer Valley FM, I'm really proud of the fact that we've never turned anybody away who's wanted to get involved. And at Nevis Radio, they really encourage people to come in and have a look at what it's all about.
Come in and see us, see what it's about. Open days, we only have two of those a year, and they say, but the door's got to be open, and there's no secrets, there's nothing hidden away, everything's going to be out in the open. Yeah, we're in trouble, we're doing well, and that, I think that's the way it needs to be, and I think you've got to be open, and you've got to listen to everybody else, not just your volunteers here, but the listeners, because they're the main ones. Without them, why are you doing it? Yeah, that's what it's about. If they're not interested in what you're doing, then why are you doing it? It can't be an ego thing. It's certainly not a financial thing for the volunteers, so it's got to be for the listeners.
VN Radio Podcast with Dom Chambers.
John Weller from Nevis Radio concluding there that ultimately, of course, it has to be about the listeners. And many thanks to John and the team for welcoming me to Nevis Radio. I got to know it quite well because it's got such a large transmission area. I had it for most of the 20-odd mile journey down from Fort Augustus, driving through really beautiful countryside. And then after I left them, it wasn't that far on the map, but the terrain was heavily suggested of a leisurely journey, during which I listened, of course, to Nevis Radio. Where I was bound, though, was to a network of stations I've never been to outside, that is, of their HQ in Chalfont St Giles, and I'm talking about BFBS now. And as I was driving towards BFBS Scotland in Edinburgh, I was wondering how local radio dedicated to the communities around the armed forces finds its place jostling amongst other local or national broadcasters. Once I had arrived and cleared security, it was Mark McKenzie who welcomed me in, and our conversation began by asking that very question.
We have to play to our unique selling point, and that is the forces. The BBC, for example, will cover the tattoo, the Royal Edinburgh Military tattoo. They won't cover it to the depth that we have. They're not putting out the local information. The commercial radio will do exactly the same. It will put out information, but it's not putting out the local information. You want to find out the swimming pool times. Now, there's an argument for saying, actually, if you want to find out the swimming pool times, you're knocking the swimming pool door. But we're going to bring it to your door. We're going to give you that information. We're going to tell you. You're going to hear voices that you know. You're going to hear the welfare officer. You're going to hear the commanding officer. But equally, you're going to hear the squaddies. You're going to hear the kids. You're going to hear their families. The guys deploy not as much as they did. So when they were deploying to Afghanistan and Iraq, for example, we were always doing link-ups with the guys that are deployed, with their families, sending messages back and forward. But they go away. They still go away for 6 months at a time on training exercises or on other operations as well. And we're that link, and that's unique in that we have that access. We have the trust. And I think that's a really big thing that we've built up over the time, and certainly in my 10 years on BFBS Garrison Radio. We have the trust of the people, and that comes from, if you let them down, if you say you're going to do something and you don't do it, or you stitch them up, they don't trust you, they don't use you. What's the point of you being around? You know, there is no point. If those people aren't going to listen, if they don't trust you, then you might as well just be either another broadcaster who's just opening the window and shouting out to anybody, or you shut your doors.
BFBS may have a particular range of purposes that are more targeted than some of the local radio stations I've visited, which are there for everybody in a geographic location. But Mark very much reaffirming there, it's crucial to know your audience and to know who you're broadcasting for. And what I was learning from this visit to BFBS is just what an important part a radio station has to play in communities that exist for a specific purpose. In this case, supporting the armed forces. And to many of us, the name BFBS has a long and honourable history. I used to listen to it when I was a kid because I was fascinated by what seemed to me the exotic parts of the world it was often coming from. And it was very much an entertainment and informative service for serving military personnel in the field. But what Mark is describing is very much about the communities back here, back in Blighty, where local radio is providing a huge stability for people who are coming and going because of the mobile nature of people serving in and connected to the armed forces. But inevitably, people who are serving have a lot to do with their time. And this is another aspect of living in a locality that BFBS can help with.
The nature of the military is they're kind of busy. I was speaking to someone recently about an issue to do with school kids, and an 11-year-old child had been to 11 schools 11 different schools in 11 different parts of either the UK or Europe because of Dad's posting. That puts into perspective one of the challenges. So as the radio station, you know, while it's great and we can provide the service, and we are a permanent fixture in this location, so that gives us an advantage on people who are coming in who might not know how things work in Edinburgh or Inverness or anywhere around the BFBS world. We've got that knowledge that they might not have. In radio.
How important do you think radio is for people serving in the military?
I love radio. I've loved radio all my life. I love Forces Radio in particular because it is a unique audience. You know, the guys, whether they're serving, the families, whether they're serving, wherever they've been, are coming into areas that they don't necessarily know what is going on. You can sit down and the officers can tell the squaddies or whatever vital information. By the time they get home, they've forgotten half of it. We're able to pass that message on directly to the families as well. It's almost soft education. You know, you're drip feeding information into them, you're playing songs, and then you're telling them about something. So it sinks in maybe just that wee bit more, if that makes sense.
This idea that a local radio station has networks and knowledge that you can buy into because you're moving into an area, and that is totally relevant to you because you're part of a specific community that radio station is there to serve, is seriously interesting. And coming up shortly, I'll be visiting radio stations that serve specific communities within a wider urban landscape, as Vijay Umrao from Leicester's EV Radio will be telling me, as will Kelly from Unity in Southampton. But for now, I wanted to take the opportunity of exploring another purpose for local radio, which is to help give an area its own identity and to champion that to a wider world. Here's Jeff Martin.
I first had the idea for Erewash Sound back in 1985 when I was lobbying local politicians. Because if you look on a map, Erewash as a borough sits completely between the two conurbations of Derby and Nottingham. And because of that place on the map, tends to fall off the map, if that makes sense. So the voice is sort of really drowned out by the two cities. So I felt that it's a perfect place for a community radio station. And I sat down with my co-founder, Ian Perry, back in 2004. I said, look, let's revisit this Erewash Sound thing, Ian, because even though we've moved on nearly 20 years, as far as I'm concerned, the situation had never changed. Yes, we got commercial radio in Derby. Yes, we got commercial radio in Nottingham. But Erewash still wasn't served. So we decided to run an RSL, which was almost like 20 years since I started my campaign. And we found that not only was it needed, but it could be successful. And even though we went round and sold the advertising ourselves, neither Ian and I are salesmen, we suddenly found that people were actually inspired by the idea. And there was more people around than just me who thought that a radio station for this area was a good idea.
So for you, it is really about not only empowering voices within the community, but essentially or empowering a whole community which has got a little bit lost in its identity, sandwiched between two very obvious locations of Derby and Nottingham.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. And it's got its own identity, and it's a real mixed community as much as it has its two major towns, which are Long Eaton and Ilkeston. But it's got lots of little villages as well, and all these little villages have got their own identity. So, you know, when you add in there the schools and the shops and the little local economy, I mean, one of the things the station's been involved in, for instance, Ilkeston is the biggest town in the country that hasn't got its own railway station. And Erewash Sound has been played a very small part in that campaign. So we've now got a radio station and a railway station.
Well, what great developments that is when an area that needs to champion its own identity not only sees the arrival of a radio station, and one that's firmly now rooted in the area, but also the return of the railway. Stations all round, and that can only be a good thing. Incidentally, you can see what value the local authority places on that which Jeff and his team of volunteers have built up over the years, because they're based in an old primary school. When it came to knocking the building down because the primary school wasn't there anymore, they left the part up where the radio station is, and actually makes a great facility not only for local radio, but also a bit of a hub and a gathering space for all sorts of people and groups that might need to get their voice out on local radio. I very much enjoyed my visit there, and not least in discovering that Jeff had a secondary mission that emerged after the radio station was set up. So if you spend all that time championing the idea of a local radio station for the Erewash district, Once that had been achieved, he found that what was really motivating him and others going forward was the training that they were giving people to give them the skills to contribute to Erewash Sound. Such a good story all round. Another part of the country that found a real need to champion its own area is Chorley in Lancashire. And whilst you might think a certain comedian of international standing was doing plenty of championing for Chorley FM, for Barbara Lowe, empowering Chorley with its own dedicated voice is a very serious matter. Across South Lancashire, 102.8,
Chorley FM. It is Real Local Radio, and we are live right across South Lancashire right now. And it's great to be joined in the studio with two special guests. I've got in the studio today Louise Giles, who's Head of Transformation at Lancashire Care NHS Foundation Trust, and also Lewis Smith-Connell, who's Project Lead. Very good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Tell me a little bit more about, explain well-being. What does that mean?
In terms of well-being, it's around supporting people to take greater ownership of their health and well-being and getting people alive and keeping well.
Chorley FM's one of the oldest, I think, community radio stations. We've been going now for around about 10 years. We began right back in 2006. There was a real need in Chorley for something a little bit different. At that time, when the commitments were written, there was a very real need in the Chorley area to appeal to the young generation, to the youth of Chorley, and also to the LGBT community. And that was one way in which Chorley FM was set up originally. As we've gone through the years, we found that it needed to be more inclusive of the community. We couldn't target certain audiences like the LGBT and also the youth of Chorley. We couldn't simply just broadcast to them. How can you determine what sort of music these target groups actually listen to? And to be brutally honest, they listen exactly to the same things that we were putting out. But unfortunately, we were found in breach of that because that was expected of us 24/7, and we really couldn't do that. And at that time as a board, we had to really put all our heads together and think, right, OK, we need to sort out how we are going to get around this. We first set up the station with a different set of commitments that we've now got. We attract people from the community to come in and do lots of interviews with community-based organisations. We also train people. We accept all ages. I think one of our oldest volunteers is around about 83, I think. He does a great show. And it's just a wonderful atmosphere here at Chorley FM. We've got 60 volunteers. We do an awful lot in the community, to be perfectly honest. And I think by name only, we're quite we are quite popular because of the Peter Kay thing, which actually was never anything to do with Chorley FM, but that's another story. Across South Lancashire,
102.8, Chorley FM. It's going to become a one-stop shop for health and well-being, really, isn't it? And if you don't have the answer right there and then, you can put people in touch with the right organisation that might be able to help out.
It is, and in Chorley we provide quite a lot of the physical health services as well as the mental health services, so we're able to access our diabetes specialist teams, COPD teams, etc.
Okay, great stuff.
And in Lancashire Care we've got this mantra, which is the right care at the right time, in the right place, every time.
That works. So, for more information on this story, please head over to the Chorley FM website. By the end of today, we'll have some more details, www.chorley.fm. Louise and Lewis, thank you very much for your time today, and let's get some more music on Chorley FM right now. This is Rome's playing for you. It's 2:15 Tuesday afternoon. Nathan Hill in the driving seat till 3. We'll have a full rundown of the roads next.
And thanks very much to Nathan for sending me that clip. And, of course, to Barbara. I've visited Chorley FM twice and she's always been fantastically welcoming and supportive of whatever hat I'm wearing that takes me there in the first place. I have to say, since I was last there, Barbara has written to me and told me that she's now fully retired, and that has included stepping down as the manager of Chorley FM. So obviously, I want to wish Barbara very well as she picks up a whole range of new adventures, I would imagine. Now, the last time I was there was in spring 2018, and that was because I'd picked up on a local news story in the Chorley area of how the editor of local publications had got involved with the community radio station, and that struck me as being something that could be really interesting, how you mix grassroots, community, local broadcast media with traditional print as well as digital publishing. Sensing that there was a story here, I wanted to find out more. And that led to this conversation with Nicola Adam.
I actually bumped into Barbara at a community event I was attending as editor of Chorley. And we got talking and she said, oh, you should come in. And I came in and did an interview initially with Barbara on her show. I said, oh, I'd like to learn how to do this. That's how it all came about. So I've just started coming in on Sundays and learning the ropes, pressing the buttons, trying to work it all out. But it's interesting to come from, it's like I'm a trainee reporter again. So yeah, it's interesting.
Well, I heard a bit of you and you sounded great. So it sounds like you've taken it like a duck to water. Where do you see the overlaps then between your daytime job and the work of a community broadcaster?
There's plenty of overlaps because we are community newspapers, you know, and part of my role as editor is to be out there in the community. You know, we're not there on the fringes of the community. We are part of the community as local papers. And as an editor, I take my responsibility as being part of those communities as well, getting involved, trying to meet people. You know, I don't just want to be in my newsroom, never actually seeing anybody from the communities that we represent. So it's great for me to come here every week and learn something new. I like to learn new things.
I'm really pleased that she's decided to come and join us because, as she says, she's got a wealth of experience in journalism. Basically, that is what community radio is about. In a way, we are journalists, but we are journalists of the spoken word. Nicola knows so many people within the community and locally that I think she brings a tremendous asset to Chorley FM because we understand how she works. She now understands how we work and it's a greater understanding between the two media organisations.
And all for the benefit of making reliable and trusted local radio. My thanks to Nicola there for giving up some of her Sunday afternoon to have that conversation with me. And I can tell you that since we talked, she is an absolute bastion of the Chorley FM schedule, overseeing the Sunday lie-in 9 till 12. And it contains all sorts of erudite and interesting gobbets of information reflecting life in the Chorley area. Now, before I head back into that territory where local radio is really credibly helping meet significant social challenges of our times, and actually to some extent they're all doing that, but I wanted to dart back up across the borders for another radio station that had started its life with some quite specific targets in mind that effectively meant they were only broadcasting to some sections of the community. For in Dumfries and Galloway, Alive had started out as a local Christian radio station. But like Chorley, they found that they needed to broaden their purposes as a local radio station. Lee Med takes up the story.
When we spoke to Ofcom about this at the time, we thought we had to have that Christian backbone in there. So we still do. We've got our specialist Christian programming. On a Sunday, we put out a full Christian lineup. We also have thoughts for the day and engaging conversation, but we don't make it in your face Christian because we found a lot of the topics that you would have in everyday life have actually got a message behind them. It's just how we engage with that. I'm not going to lie, when we first launched as a full-time service, there was a lot of uncertainty about the community, that thinking that religious channel up on the hill. But again, through time and through education, a lot of the time, people have become aware of the range of shows, the personalities that we have here, and the fact that we are just like them. We're just delivering messages, playing good music, and engaging in every way we can with all aspects of the community across Dumfries and Galloway. And I think what's been really good is we are seen now as part of the fabric of the community.
And my thanks to Lee Med there from Alive 107.3. Again, another radio station that gave me a fantastic welcome, which led to a range of conversations about just what makes local radio tick here in the UK. And it's that last point that I really like about being part of the fabric of the local community. Because where I'm headed now, we're going to find that in absolute bucketfuls. As I drive around the UK, I find often that there's a direct correlation between areas of deprivation and quality local grassroots and community broadcasting. And there's no finer example of this than at Sheppey FM. Here's Julie Nichols.
The Isle of Sheppey and Sheerness in particular is an area of multiple deprivation. So you have high unemployment, you have low skills, you have a lack of training. Yes, it's a very impoverished area. So we focus mostly on health and well-being because we're part of Sheppey Matters, which is a large charity. All of their projects are about health and well-being. So our shows are dedicated to local health support groups where people can go and get help. And that's another way of nurturing the island. We work with lots of local organisations to promote their activities. And one thing about the island is that there is a very strong community spirit here. If something goes wrong, there was a fire in a building along Marine Parade and people were made homeless and everybody got together. They put on gigs to raise money. They're very quick to come forward and support other people in the community. And that's a strength. I think maybe it's an island mentality, but there's a strong community spirit here. And I think that's also why we're quite well supported as well, because the community knows we're here for them as well.
Julie's such an inspiring person. In fact, I find Sheppey 92.2 one of the most inspiring radio stations, and I always look forward to my return trips there, hopefully one coming up a little later in the year. And from what Julie was saying there, I think there's a really interesting juncture between a volunteer-orientated local radio station being a reflection of an area's characteristics and the people that are prepared to step forward to give that region a voice. And this idea that local radio can really tangibly help with social challenges. And this leads me to the Solihull area near Birmingham and a fascinating analysis of the relationship between community broadcasting and its key purposes. In this case, it's a lot to do with training people and the area in which it serves. Dean Kavanagh is the manager at Switch Radio.
From the very beginning, this station has always invested in training. Training has always been at the heart of what this radio station does. Really, it's always been for us a platform to upskill people.
And why are you doing that?
Ideologically, I think it's what community radio should do. I think it's what it's here for. The beneficiaries of community radio, I think you can categorise as those outside the door and those inside the door. And sometimes it's all too easy to forget those inside the doors as beneficiaries of community radio. So we've always considered, actually, that those guys who come through that door, we must have given them something when they go out, right? Because otherwise, what have we done? We haven't done what we're supposed to do. There is a set of core competences that it's really important that you help people enhance when they come on a project. Some of those are relatively obvious, but some of perhaps the less obvious ones.
Castle Vale, Hodge Hill, Erdington, Shard End. This is 107.5 Switch Radio.
Historically, this area has suffered somewhat from low in terms of aspiration, aspirational, less so now perhaps, but historically the young people in this area have been shown to have very low aspirations. The problem is that they don't, it's not associated with low talent or low capabilities, just low aspirations. This area in particular was very much an overspill housing estate, as are a lot of the areas actually in North Solihull. And it was a case of residents were just kind of thrown into this area and were saying, well, we're going to design it with this, that, this, that, and this, that. An afterthought was things for social cohesion, and an afterthought were things for educational attainment. That was not the primary concern. I mean, it was there, don't get me wrong, it was in there, but it wasn't the primary concern. And then over the years, you know, low aspirations have developed because the educational opportunities in the area aren't that great. The social opportunities in the area have never been that great. Not now, I should say. Things are improving. But historically, that's how we got to this point.
Switch on to 107.5 Switch Radio.
Hello, hello, welcome back. This is the Daytime with Ashley show, and I am your host, Ashley E.L. Roberts, and I'll be here with you until 5 p.m. today. We've got some great music lined up for you, great banter, great entertainment here at Switch Radio 107.5 FM. So if you have any song requests, please send them in at switch_radio on Twitter. If you want to send me a Facebook message on our Switch Radio Facebook page, please do so ASAP. And now we're going to go into some Dua Lipa. We've got Katy Perry, Lutricia McNeil. It's going to be a fantastic day.
Well, if Ashley's anything to go by with her upbeat and wonderfully inclusive, positive approach to local radio presenting, then you can witness those improvements that Dean was talking about through the radio waves. Clearly fantastic outcomes for their training programmes, and it's wonderful to see a radio station both being a part of those positive changes in a region, but also, to some extent, a driver of them. And it was that thought that then sent me back down to Hampshire, to an area with strong military connections. It used to have a commercial broadcaster, but no local radio until recently, when David Morris and the team arrived and set up Andover Radio. Straight question to David. What was the problem in Andover that local radio could help resolve?
People in Andover, I think themselves, think that they're quite disparate and everybody's kind of arguing with everybody else. The high street's not good enough and why have the council not done ABC and complaining and moaning. What it shows is that there's a passion in this town that everybody kind of really wants things to be better. Now, radio has traditionally always and continues to be the kind of linchpin in the social aspect of a town, because you can talk about local sports and schools and fates and the weather and the gritting on the roads and whatever it might be. So radio should continue to do that. So the Love Andover strapline really has become a brand within itself. It's starting to pull people together through the variety of things that we do. So we do quite a lot of training kind of in our building, not just media training, but training for things like first aid and health and safety at work, etc. So we get known for being a provider. And that's, so it's not just put what's on information on our website or what's on information on the radio. It's bringing people together. We put on some large events in town. We run, this year will be our third Armed Forces Day. Even the radio station will only be 1 year old at that point. And that brings together lots of younger people that have not really had the opportunity to kind of show their ability and build their confidence on the ground. It connects the military community with the civilians in town. It's an opportunity to bring brand sponsors on board. It's a great way of marketing the radio station. And if you take that sort of philosophy of bringing people together and providing opportunity and experience with the same ability to promote the brand of your radio station and show that you mean business and that you're big in this town, you become a desirable asset to the town that hopefully translates into listeners, online users, more successful funding applications and revenue.
A pertinent reminder from David there that revenue is rather important. Now, the radio stations I'm visiting and talking about in this programme are all not-for-profits, or some of them are owned by charities. But not-for-profit does not mean that profit is not welcome. In fact, any business that isn't generating a profit isn't a business for very long. Profit is good. Profit is needed. We call it a surplus, and it is reinvested back into the project and the people that run it to create more brilliant outcomes from grassroots, independent, local community radio. Now, that all said, let us ingest that wider point about a radio station adding to that sense of wider purpose in an area that may have divisions. And there could be all sorts of divides along traditional lines of hostility. Where I work at Summer Valley FM, you had some quite polarised communities that came about from rivalry between coal mining pits in northeast Somerset. In so many of these conversations, social cohesion emerges strongly as a motivation that drives forward independent local radio. And over at High Wycombe, it was key to the vision of Wycombe Sound. As Philippa Sawyer explains to me, in the very week that they launched after many years planning, which I think was at the end of 2016. All fresh and exciting amidst the jubilation of acquiring a license and seeing that license launch and getting great reaction to it, Philippa and the team kept their eye on this core purpose.
It's to bring the community together. We have people of all walks of life. There are some very wealthy parts of High Wycombe and the surrounding areas, some very, very wealthy areas. There are also families who are facing some very real challenges, some children in poverty. So it really is a very broad spectrum. We have communities from many different parts of the world, but there's no one thing in High Wycombe that unites everybody. And that was really our challenge, was to be a uniting force, to be something that everybody could feel a part of. And that is one of our six main objectives.
And there's a radio station with a strong sense of purpose and a mission that was driven with such effect that within 9 months of that conversation in the week that they launched, Wycombe Sound had won gold in the Community Radio Awards of 2017. A fantastic achievement. Always a pleasure pitching up at Wycombe Sound, which I regard as one of the beacons of local radio with social purpose. And what I love about the potential of local radio is that it not only brings people together and establishes a wider sense of community, but we can all learn about other people, about our neighbours and their world. And I want to dwell on this as I come towards the end of the programme. And it takes us back into those big urban environments where there's lots of media offerings and, of course, a myriad of diversity. One of the most exciting conversations I've had on these radio tours is with Vijay Umrao at Eva Radio in Leicester. And he's got so much to say on this. So let's begin the clip I've chosen with Vijay explaining what Eva's core purposes are.
Eva FM stands for East African Voice Association.
EVA FM is a multilingual radio station serving the diverse communities of Leicester. We broadcast in over 15 to 20 different languages. We have over 70 volunteers. And that's what basically we do. We serve the communities, the diverse communities of Leicester.
EVA FM is a multilingual radio station serving the diverse communities of Leicester on 102.5 FM.
CoLab 2 presents the One City, One Celebration, One Day Festival. Come and be a part of our celebration of culture and heritage with music, dance, food and stalls as we gather the vibrant communities that make up our city of Leicester.
Just going through some of our languages, obviously we have English, then we have Hindi, Gujarati, Punjabi, Urdu, Tamil. So that serves a lot of the South Asian kind of backgrounds as well. And then we've got Africa. So in Africa, you've got Arabic, Somali, Shona, Dabele. We have a lot of West African languages, Somali. We also have Ethiopian languages, Swahili. And then also the African Caribbean music genres, music of black origin. So we have R&B, hip-hop, dancehall, soul, reggae, Motown, from grime, local, everything to do with that. And then we also have Eastern European languages. We also had a Roma Slovak language. We've had that in the past. We've got a Polish show. We used to have a Spanish show. We used to have a Chinese show. Depending on different volunteers and volunteers' availability, so it does change. And one of our EVA FM's key commitments is to teach migrant communities and diverse communities of Leicester about British culture and also understand their culture. So it's a two-way thing. So if we want to translate any issues that we have around in the local community, we would come on the airwaves and we would broadcast that to the specific community in their specific language.
One of the great purposes of community radio is a sense of cohesion, is a sense of breeding understanding between different people's different cultures. This sounds like your core purpose here.
Absolutely. Community cohesions, I would say that's one of our number one priorities here. Whether it's community, whether it's entrepreneurship, whether it's helping the youth, children, elderly, we're inclusive to everyone with disabilities. We're open to everyone from everywhere, from any country, really. In radio.
What a fantastic vision for local radio that is. But it's not just a vision on paper. I have to say, although I do tend to say this about most radio stations I go to, but I do have to say about my visit to EVA, it was such a vibrant and exciting environment to be in. I so enjoyed meeting Vijay and a few of the other supporters there as well. What emerged for me so strong in that conversation is that while officially EVA might be serving communities of interest, and that'll be ingrained in its own Ofcom licence, but actually the way they're going about things is that they're also serving the city and those who dwell in it in a really holistic way. And being a catalyst that breeds understanding between different peoples, different creeds, different cultures, well, that has a whole level of social value that I very rarely hear about when people are referring to the UK's radio and audio industry. And it's a similar story at Unity in Southampton. I was taken there by Kevin Scott from Hot Radio when he was more based at The Voice in Southampton. And Unity's just around the corner. In fact, these two community radio stations serve different sectors of the city, but work very closely together. Kevin introduced me to the noticeably charismatic Kelly, and a great conversation followed, during which Kelly plots that pathway that starts with the spirit in the office and the studios of a local radio station, generates a sense of family, and how does that then progress to audiences? But inevitably, the conversation begins with a description of what the radio station does.
Its purpose is to broadcast music and culture and chat to our target audience, which is Asian and ethnic. We broadcast in 10 languages. We don't do politics, we don't do religion. We are Unity, so we unite people through that. Our main output is Hindi, English, and Urdu. And then with that is sandwiched other languages, Bengali, Polish, and Afghanistan. We are able to create a family, which is the first and foremost in form of volunteers. We currently have 97 active volunteers. These volunteers create the bond and the foundation of a family of Unity. These individuals then create friends within themselves. They go back to their homes and the area where they live in, and they spread the word in that Unity, and therefore it grows. Also, when they have events, we are there to support them and promote them and enlighten them so they become more popular and more people get engaged in it. So it's first and foremost, it's localized here at Unity where they grow in terms of physical connection. Secondly, they go into the communities and they engage with their communities and then they spread the word. And finally, when those volunteers are involved on air, they relate to those listeners. And of course, when they go outside, they hear about the people and becomes a talking point, the fact that you're a radio presenter.
That's Kelly from Southampton's Unity Radio. And I think it's very fitting to close this overview of local independent grassroots radio in the UK with a station that's called Unity. But it's that lovely little touch that comes at the end of what Kelly was saying there. For again, the idea of radio presenter and audience having such a close connection. You present a radio show, you go out into the community, you see your loved ones, you see your mates, and you're a talking point. And that talking point is scaling up. But sometimes it does feel like we are Britain's best-kept media secret. Did you know that at this moment of time, there's over 280 community radio licenses broadcasting all over the UK? And that is a number that is increasing. So it may well be that those in governing circles haven't quite clocked the remarkable positive contribution to life in the UK made by this dedicated group of mainly volunteers in their thousands. And it just may be that the wider radio and audio industry doesn't quite know what it has nestling in its own landscape that's traditionally been dominated by the BBC and commercial radio networks. But what I do know is that the power and value of this network of local radio stations is increasingly appreciated and, yes, talked about by its audiences as well as those who make it. As I am making this programme, it is World Radio Day, and all round the globe there are celebrations of this remarkable and resilient medium. But this year also, it is highlighting the value to society of dialogue, tolerance and peace. And I hope you agree with me that as I've travelled around the UK, I've found these traits in tremendous abundance as I explore local radio at the heart of community. For the In Radio podcast, I'm Dom Chambers, and I always welcome feedback on these podcasts or indeed ideas for themes on future ones. And if you'd like your radio station or media organisation to be profiled, then invite me. The chances are I'll be passing by at some point and always happy to dwell with my microphone and stimulating conversation. Do get in touch, dom.chambers@radiotoday.co.uk. For now, though, I think we'll give the last word to Mark McKenzie of BFBS Scotland.
I think we fill a huge gap that would be there without us.